Maybe the worst thing about having a job you love is worrying that you may lose it. Well, a University of Michigan researcher looked at how people react to the fear of losing their employment. And like many things in life, perception is everything. To give me the details of his new study published in the journal Organization Science, I'm joined by Ned Smith, Assistant Professor of Strategy at the University of Michigan Ross School of Business. Ned, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on.
So when it is layoff time, which it is unfortunately so often nowadays, you see some people crumbling while other people seem to not really even skip a beat. They're firing off emails and they seem to have job leads within days. So what makes the difference in the way people react to this horrible prospect of losing their job?
Well, you know, the study that my co-authors and I did started from the premise of social networks. There's a lot of research in the past showing a positive effect of certain types of having certain types of social networks on finding employment. The research historically has shown that, unsurprisingly, having a large network helps for finding employment. At the same time, having a non-redundant or non-dense social network helps for finding employment. The reason being that if you know or connect with people who don't otherwise know one another, then you're gaining access to diverse sources of information. So when what we did was try to find out, when people are facing a threat that they might lose their job, how are they likely to go and network? Is it likely that they would respond to that threat by, say, cutting off all those diverse ties and hanging out with their close friends, which, of course, would be a suboptimal response given what past research have shown? Or would they respond by networking broadly, which, of course, would be a more optimal response?
And the interesting thing in your study is that it involved the way people perceive their own socioeconomic status, which I guess is independent of their actual socioeconomic status. Is that right?
That's right. They are highly correlated, without a doubt. We did a study on perception, but I imagine somebody else could do a very similar study using just objective social status as their measure. In the end, social status, as you brought up, is the key variable that we found that was driving people's behavior. What we found, and we can talk in a minute about why we think we found what we found, is that people who self-identify or perceive themselves as having low socioeconomic status, when they're faced with a job loss, they actually remember their social networks as being small and very dense, so only composed of close friends, family members, et cetera. And that's compared to what their actual social networks are. People who perceive themselves as being high status, by contrast, do just the opposite. So it's the ones that perceive that they have a job threat or that they might lose their job who are remembering their networks as being considerably larger and less dense than they actually are.
And then this basically then would lead someone with a higher sense of, maybe we could call it self-esteem, to be potentially more successful in finding a new job?
We think that that's one of the really important implications of this research. If these patterns, of course, our research, it was in two settings. One was a large-scale national survey. Then what we did was take the same context and put it in a laboratory setting to establish a causal relationship, which is probably a bit too much detail to get into over a radio interview. But we think one of the important implications is just as you mentioned. So if low-status people are systematically responding to the threat of job loss or worse, actual job loss by cutting off the very social ties that might be the most important for them to find subsequent employment, then that just creates this sort of nasty cycle.
I'm talking to Ned Smith. He's an assistant professor of strategy at the University of Michigan Ross School of Business. It's hard to say what we can do with this information other than to maybe encourage people to view themselves as higher status?
That's certainly one approach. The approach that I think my co-authors and I converge on in the paper and in some of our subsequent research is oftentimes, as we say, job loss is unfortunately a reality of life. And oftentimes, just something as simple as reminding people at an exit interview, once they've been let go, that they have a broad social network, they have lots of resources available to them via their social networks. Reminding them of that might lead them to not have this suboptimal response where they're cutting off all of those potentially valuable ties.
Now, the interesting thing I noted in the study was that not only did those who viewed themselves as having high status consider their circle large, and certainly larger than those that viewed themselves as lower status, but they actually viewed their social circles as larger than those who were of equally high status in their perception, but were secure in their jobs. So it almost seems like the threat of a job loss actually increases their self-confidence somehow.
That's right. So you're talking about the folks who self-identified as being high status. And as you said, the neat thing about this study is that we can do within status group comparisons. So just to rephrase exactly what you said, it's the high status people with the job threat are remembering their networks as being larger and less dense than high status people without the job threat. We think one of the possible reasons why that's going on, and this is consistent with a number of past research articles in cognitive and social psychology, is this idea that when high status people encounter a threat in their environment, they oftentimes respond to that threat proactively or defensively. And so extending that to a social network context, one of the possible mechanisms here, behavioral mechanisms driving what we're seeing, is that if I consider myself high status, I've now been threatened with the loss of a job. And so when I'm asked to recall or report what my social network is, I'm going to use that reporting to actually reassert my sense of self. I'm not going to let it affect me. And so as a result, I'm going to remember having lots of friends in many different places. And so that cognitive response, of course, could translate into an actual behavioral response, which would, in the end, lead me to have potentially better access to information about new jobs going forward.
Now, you say that job counselors might steer those facing the loss of a job towards LinkedIn or Facebook to mobilize their old connections and to make sure they access all the information out there. But do we really know if typically those that are looking for new jobs actually succeed using these kinds of networks versus pursuing jobs through Monster.com or recruiters?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'm not too familiar with the research out there on it. I think increasingly there is some good research that's coming out about the different social media avenues that we have, be it just the online posting boards like a Monster.com or more internet-based social network sites like LinkedIn or Facebook. Traditionally, the social network research has a very established finding that we're more likely to find jobs, gain employment through these sort of old contacts, not people that we hang out with on a day-to-day basis, but it's the striking up an old friendship, an old college roommate, whatever it might be. Those are the folks that are giving us access to information about new opportunities.
Now, I know your study focused on the perception of the socioeconomic status, but it basically is the reality that those that have high socioeconomic status, that they typically do view themselves as having more friends, a larger network, more opportunities than those below them?
I think in general that is true. There's usually some pretty robust, and of course that doesn't always come down to perception. There's some pretty robust correlations out there that show that people who are college educated, for instance, tend to have more friends. Now, with respect to our study, you already pointed out one of the things that makes it unique and quite useful is that we weren't comparing the size and density of people's social networks across, you know, for low status compared to high status. We were doing within a status group, so within folks who see themselves as high status or low status, how does this experience of job threat lead them to see their network in a materially different way?
I can't help but think of the movie Office Space, where he's hypnotized into being eternally happy. Maybe the real goal would be to be hypnotized into having a perception of high socioeconomic status.
Yeah, that could be. Or just don't forget that you actually do have a lot more friends than you might think.
Indeed. Ned Smith, Assistant Professor of Strategy at the University of Michigan Ross School of Business. Ned, thank you very much for talking to us this evening. Very interesting stuff.
I appreciate it, Michael. Enjoy the weather in Michigan.